Welcome to a new edition of For the Sake of Your Eyes with Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt of the Du Bois Vision Clinic. And today, Dr. Wendy, by the way, good morning.
Good morning.
It's great having you with us once again. Today, we're going to ask a whole assortment of questions, if that's okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, what we want to start with, you know, when we think about eye health, and that is the main topic of For the Sake of Your Eyes, you are very concerned about people's eye health. What are some of the most overlooked things or items about eye health that you see in patients?
Well, a lot of diabetic patients overlook things too. They don't understand the gravity of how much the diabetes can affect the blood vessels in the retina. Okay. And they think if their blood sugar's down and their A1C is down, they don't have any problems. Mm-hmm. But 10 to 15 years after being diabetic, you have those changes because the diabetes affects the blood vessels and they weaken over time. So a lot of times people will overlook that. But unfortunately, we take our vision for granted until something happens. Yeah. And so a lot of people figure, well, I'm seeing okay, I don't need to have my eyes checked. And we do adults every year and kids every 6 months because the kids are growing.
Yeah.
And other areas seeing 20/20, just because you see 20/20 doesn't mean that there isn't a problem going on. Mm-hmm. You know, that you could have dry eye, you could have diabetic changes, you could have cataracts beginning, all these different things that we need to monitor over time.
Sure. And you mentioned, you know, diabetics being those that especially need to stay up to date on their eye health and eye condition. High blood pressure also be another one of those medical conditions?
Yes. An uncorrected or unmedicated high blood pressure, you could get swelling in the optic nerve and bleeding around the optic nerve. It also changes the blood vessels. Mm-hmm. And we can see that when we look in the eye.
Right. Let's talk about another, I guess it's somewhat common ailment with the eye, and that is conjunctivitis, famous old pink eye.
Pink eye or red eye.
And I'm sure you see that, and it probably comes in, you have a surge of it.
Yes, we do. It goes in, if you have two or three, yeah, four or five.
Yeah.
And especially this year with allergies. Allergies have been horrible all year long because our weather's been so up and down. We had rain early on, then it got cold, then of course it snowed, then it got warm, then it got cold. And so we talk about conjunctivitis. It's an inflammation of the white part of the eye.
Right.
And you can have various reasons. The sinuses beside your nose are paper thin, and the derms go back and forth in the eye, and they can cause the eye to become red, irritated, itchy, scratchy, dry. And you have three layers of tears in the tear film. You have the watery layer, mucus layer, and oily layer. The mucus is what kills off the germs that come through the sinuses. It has like little Pac-Man and eat up the germs. Mm. But when those germs go in, then the eye can get red. So there can be superficial redness that looks more pink. There can be deeper inflammation. And I'm seeing a lot of that this year that I haven't seen for 10 or 15 years because of our weather.
Yeah.
And so you have an inflammation not only on the surface of the conjunctiva, but deep down. And when people have that, white blood vessels or white blood cells rush to the eye trying to help heal the eye, and the cornea, the clear part over the colored part of the eye, has the most nerves in the entire body, and they're hyperstimulated. So you get a lot of light sensitivity, and you can even have pain upon movement of the eye. Mm. And we need to prescribe, it's typically steroid drops that heal that. And for just the pinkish, an antibiotic may be all that is needed. Sometimes we need ointments.
Yeah.
But it can be in varying degrees. And some are very contagious. That comes from your sinuses, it's your own germs within your eye, so it's not contagious. But a lot of schools will send the kids home as soon as they have see a pink eye or a red eye because they're worried about other kids catching it, even though they don't know if it's contagious
kind of is,
or not.
Right.
And years ago, I had they came out with a kind of like a litmus paper stuff that you would put saline on and put into the eye, and it would turn a certain color if it was allergic or if it was contagious.
Yeah.
And we could do that to rule things out, and that would give the nurses understand that it wasn't contagious.
Mm. Interesting. Some new facts learned here about pink eye, red eye, conjunctivitis, whatever you want to call it. We're with Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt today, and this is For the Sake of Your Eyes. Dr. Wendy, another, I guess, somewhat common condition that many people have to deal with is dry eye. What is dry eye?
Dry eye is when the tears get out of balance, and we talked about those three different layers. The watery layer comes from a gland underneath the eyebrow. It's made out of the same tissue as your joints. So if you have arthritis, tendonitis, bursitis, it will be affected and you'll have fewer or less watery layer.
I see.
The mucus, when you have allergies and it comes through the sinus, your eye produces extra mucus, but the eye thinks it's dry and it produces more. So it creates a film, but it makes it dry and your eye gets kind of scratchy.
Yeah.
When you get extra mucus, you get a smear. So dry eye can come from allergies, environmental things like the defrost hitting your eyes in the car.
Yeah.
When you have it on, working on a computer because you tend to stare and you don't blink as much, your eyes can get dry. Having a fan on nearby can dry them. Air conditioning can dry them. So certain environmental factors can do that too. But extreme heat. My mom wore gas perm contact lenses and they went to Tennessee and they were at the Grand Ole Opry.
Mm-hmm.
And she called me. She was trying to take her contacts out and they were stuck on her eyes.
Oh boy.
So I had to have her flush her eye and flush so that it would break the seal and be able to take that lens out. So when you do have dry eyes, you can use artificial teardrops. And there's varying kinds, some that help the watery layer, which like Tears Naturel, the general ones only help the watery layer.
Yeah.
But if you're having allergies, it's more the mucus layer and the oily layer. So they came out with a lot of different drops that help all three layers, and it'll say on the box, and you won't normally look at that. You just grab whatever one. But there are certain gel drops that are thicker and they stay in contact with the eye longer, so you don't have to take them so often. Because just the general ones, you could take them 3,000 times a day and need more. Mm-hmm. Your eyes would still be dry. So the thicker drops will blur your vision a little bit at first, but they stay in contact with the eye so you don't have to use them as often. And you can put them in the fridge. When they are cold, they feel terrific.
Hmm.
You know, they soothe the eye and make it feel
like
a lot
it
better.
Would be, yes.
Yeah.
Most definitely. We're gathering some handy information and facts from Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt today on For the Sake of Your Eyes. It's all about your eye health, and we have some more questions for Dr. Wendy. We'll ask those in just a moment after this important message.
This is Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt with an eye care message for the sake of your eyes. Everyone starts to experience changes in their vision in their 40s. It's called presbyopia, and there's a decreased ability to focus on near objects. Activities like reading, sewing, and driving may become increasingly difficult. There are many ways to correct this: glasses, contacts, and even refractive surgery. With regular eye exams, problems can be detected early and proper treatments prescribed to ensure good vision. Don't delay. Make an appointment today. Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt, DuBois Vision Clinic, 90 Beaver Drive, DuBois, 371-2020.
Dr. Wendy, as we talk about some of the more common conditions that people deal with regarding their eyes, you know, we're into the final quarter of the school year. And I think probably sometimes one of the things that comes out of school children's experience of eye health is some injuries that they suffer. But it's also suffered among adults in jobs where things could hit their eyes. Would you talk about some of the common injuries that you have to deal with regarding the eye?
Well, I've had some kids come in where they got poked in the eye with a pencil.
Oh, yeah.
Either they were using it themselves or someone threw one, but also playing ball. Soccer, baseball, you can get hit in the eye, racquetball, those types of things. And when you get a fast-moving object that hits the eye, it affects, there's a resonance that goes through the eye.
Mm-hmm.
So it can cause swelling in the retina. You can have damage to the iris. The back of the iris is the area where the fluid, the aqueous fluid, is produced. It causes glaucoma if there's too much fluid produced. Plus, it drains 360 degrees around that same area.
Oh, yeah.
So if there's too much fluid produced or the drainage is damaged, they can be susceptible to glaucoma, maybe not immediately, but maybe 20 years later. Mm-hmm. So that's something that they need to have a check on frequently throughout the years. Also, sometimes there will be penetrating injuries, say like a piece of metal would fly into the eye, or like a snowball with rocks apples. I've had kids come in with apples. They put them on a stick and fling them, you know, flinging apples.
Or crab apples, especially. Yeah.
But penetrating injuries can go through the front part of the eye right back to the retina. Mm. And I had one girl that got hit with, it was something that broke, and it was a piece of metal. I think she was in metal shopping, but she had safety glasses on, but it went around, came in from the side. It came in somebody else was working with it. And so she had a tear in the cornea and it had to be stitched.
Wow.
And the aqueous was starting to come out. So they can be very serious injuries, but she healed very well and her vision was not affected because the scar was off center. Wasn't directly in the center.
I see. Now, we all love spring, that spring season, but one of the things we don't love is allergies and sinus infections. Mm-hmm. And I know some people just have a miserable time with sinuses, and that can affect the eyes as well.
Absolutely.
Tell us about that.
We talked about the redness that can occur with that, but the nerve that goes across the face is called the facial nerve.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes to the forehead, the eyelids, the nose, the mouth, the teeth. There's a branch that goes to the ear.
Yeah.
Now, I've been experiencing blocked ears this year, which I haven't had in 15, 20 years, and dizziness, which I haven't had since the 90s. So what happens is that your sinuses, there's one across the forehead, in the cheeks, beside the nose, and there's one behind the eye.
Mm-hmm.
The one behind the eye can be so full of mucus and thick, sticky stuff that it can push on the eye. It can actually change and give you astigmatism when you didn't have it, blur your vision, and cause problems. But you can get a lot of pressure. People have pressure feeling, especially if you bend over, it feels like your top of your head's going to blow off. But you can also have sharp pain. And because the sinuses are innervated by that facial nerve that goes to the eye, it can refer the pain other places. So I have a lot of people coming in with pressure, a lot of people having sharp pains and dizziness. Now, what happens in a dizziness, inside the ear, you have semicircular canals and they're filled with fluid. You also have little cilia, like the cilia in your nose that keep particles out. Well, these usually stand up straight and they have a thing on the end called a stone.
Mm.
Well, when you have fluid in the ear, which comes from sinus and sinusitis and the weather, they will fall to one side and people get dizzy. And when we check their eye movements, they have a nystagmus. So I was at a funeral on Monday and the lady who was singing was having nystagmus and she was having dizziness when we were talking about it. So I had her follow my finger. And when I got to the bad side, her eyes jerked fast to that side and you fall to that side. And she was using a walker because she had been falling.
Oh.
So it can create headaches too, and they can turn into migraines.
Mm.
So a sinus headache can be a nagging ache. It can be dull, half a headache, you know, just, you know, it's there, but they can pound and throb and they can turn into a migraine too.
Yeah. And, it was a while back, but, you did a whole program about migraines and what that is. And migraine is not just a headache, is it?
No, there are physical things that go on. You can have what's called an aura where you see weird things.
Yeah.
So you might see like a beehive or a honeycomb that's small and gets bigger and bigger. Some people will see like a bean that gets bigger and bigger. My mom used to see a star that would go back and forth.
No.
I see colors and it's, they're pretty Christmas colors. Red, green, silver, and gold.
Yeah.
But when it's in front of your eyes, it's a problem. Or you can have a blank spot when you're trying to read. But you get very light sensitive with that too, and you can get an upset stomach, and some people throw up with them. I never had a sick headache, but I've had all the other types.
Yeah.
And that can come from sinuses.
Yeah, and of course the migraine, I understand correctly, I've never experienced a migraine, but
you don't want one.
from what I understand, it's a pain that, like no other.
And my husband had never had one, and he wondered why I had to stop when I had one, because you just can't keep functioning.
Right.
I had to go lay down in a dark room. Well, his mastoidal air cells at the base of the skull, that's where you station tubes from your ears drain, and it's like a sinus. And his were all swollen, and he got a migraine.
Oh.
And once he experienced that, he understood.
Yeah.
So when people tell you they have a migraine, be empathetic, because even if you've never had them, they're terrible.
Good advice. And we're getting good advice and great information from Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt on today's edition of For the Sake of Your Eyes. And we'll have a few more questions for Dr. Wendy after you hear this important message.
This is Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt with an eye care message for the sake of your eyes. 90% of people who use computers, tablets, and phones complain of digital eye syndrome. It results from focusing on a screen for extended, uninterrupted periods of time. Symptoms include headaches, blurred vision, neck pain, fatigue, eye strain, dry, irritated eyes, and difficulty refocusing the eyes. Solve stress on your visual system. Don't delay. Make an appointment today. Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt, Du Bois Vision Clinic, 90 Beaver Drive, Du Bois, 371-2020.
We continue with For the Sake of Your Eyes with Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt of the Du Bois Vision Clinic today. Dr. Wendy, in the time we have remaining, would you tell us about some of the foreign objects that you've found patients suffering with getting in their eyes and irritating it? What are some of the more common ones? Maybe what are some of the most unusual things you've dealt with?
The more common ones are eyelashes, little pieces of dirt, little pieces of wood. I've had a lot of people working on cars and they're underneath and a piece of metal goes in.
Mm-hmm.
The most unusual ones, I had a fellow who worked at a powder metal place.
Yes.
And I took 350 pieces of things out of his eyes. I kept flushing and using a Q-tip, and it was amazing.
Wow.
But the oddest thing that I had was I had a girl that came in, and she had had a foreign body sensation for quite a while and been to multiple doctors. Well, there was an injury spot that you could see, and I numbed it, and I looked under high magnification, and there was something poking up. So I got my forceps, and I pulled and pulled and pulled and pulled. She had about 10 inches of a piece of rope in there.
Wow.
And
that's amazing.
Something had flown up. Now, she was a first responder in the fire industry, and something had flown up and blown in there or gotten in there.
So
you know,
it was a
made
microscopic
an injury.
Strand.
Yeah, it was a microscopic strand. But it kept coming.
Wow.
And she felt so much better. But
she'd
been to several doctors, and they could tell that something went in, but they didn't see it. And it could have come up to the surface.
Yeah. We're going to be seeing some more sunshine here in the upcoming days, and folks might be looking for sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
So as we start to wrap things up, let's, on a positive note, talk about sunglasses. When folks are looking for them, we're talking, of course, about non-prescription sunglasses. Mm-hmm. What should they be looking for?
Well, when we were young, no one wore sunglasses. But we've learned over time that the lens changes because it absorbs all that UV protection, or it's your UV protection. It absorbs the UV light, and that's what turns the lens yellow and becomes a cataract. But also retinal problems like macular degeneration can come from excessive exposure to ultraviolet light and bright light. So over time, sunglasses have been recommended. Now, they're all different types, and the color gray filters out the most harmful rays.
Okay.
Now, you can get gray with UV, you know, has a UV protectant. You can also get gray that's polarized.
Mm.
Polarizing a lens, it stops the reflections. So like if you go fishing, you can see the fish in the water, where with normal sunglasses, you cannot.
Yeah.
So it cuts down the reflections and the glare and things. A lot of people prefer polarized because they feel more comfortable with them on, because it does cut down a lot of the light sensitivity. A lot of people like mirrors. The mirrors reflect the sun right off. People who do snow skiing and snowboarding, they need to protect their eyes because they can have a condition and the macula from the bright sunlight.
Sure.
So there are ones made for sports. There's ones made for fun. There's, you know, different colors. Mm-hmm. But just because they have a rosy lens, it may not protect your eye as much as a gray lens. But also beware of very cheap sunglasses, and there's a lot of them out there. Mm-hmm. Hold them up to a fluorescent light and turn them. If you see lines that turn, there's astigmatism in those lenses that you may or may not have. And some people get headaches after wearing them.
Yeah.
And that's because they're cheap lenses and they warp and they have all this. So you want to get good sunglasses that protect the eyes.
Yeah. Good advice there as well. Well, Dr. Wendy, we're just about out of time, but I've been thinking since we've been covering a lot of different topics, I've thought about the fact that, you know, sometimes we could have folks tuning in for the very first time and they're hearing this program for the sake of your eyes and they're wondering, okay, who is Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt that I'm listening to today? Would you give us a little history lesson on yourself, how mm-hmm. long you've been in the DuBois area at the DuBois Vision Clinic and practicing?
Well, I grew up near Reynoldsville, so I've been here all my life. I graduated from DuBois High School. And when I was in 10th grade, I was playing basketball. And I'd been diagnosed with myopia, nearsightedness, in eighth grade, which was environmental because I started to read a lot and I overfocus. So I was wearing safety glasses to play basketball. Our first game was with Central. And I spent more time on the floor than standing up. They were a little bit aggressive, but I was wide open for a shot. And my coach said, "Why didn't you shoot?" My safety glasses were fogged up.
Oh.
So at that point, I asked my mom about getting contacts. My mm-hmm. brother wore contacts, but he started with glasses when he was in second grade or fourth grade, just like my mom. So they inherited nearsight correction where I did not. Mine was environmental because of overfocusing. And at this time, my mom's friend had cataract surgery. And so when I got the contacts, I couldn't believe a piece of plastic would help me as well as help her friend LaRue. Mm-hmm. So we had a guidance office and they had all kinds of books for colleges. So I went and I found the Pennsylvania College of Optometry.
Okay.
So when I got contacts, I decided if they, you know, we could help an older person help me and change my life, you know, because it's the most natural vision you can have.
Sure.
And I could see then to shoot. I decided I wanted to become an eye doctor.
Okay.
So I had all of the information there and I talked with our guidance counselor and I found out that IUP had a pre-professional program. Our optometry school in Philadelphia, the Pennsylvania College of Optometry, saved 4 seats for students from IUP.
Oh.
So I went to IUP and I joined a pre-professional club and they helped us. You have to go through an interview, and they helped us with that interview. So in my second year, we had to take a test like the medical students take. Mm-hmm. The medical students take MCATs, and we took what was called OCATs. Then they changed the name of
Makes
it.
Makes sense.
But I went to Duquesne in Pittsburgh on a Saturday, and it was hours and hours long, like SAT tests, only worse. And they wanted to know what schools you wanted to apply for. So I applied for the Pennsylvania College of Optometry for the reasons we talked about, but also it was a state school.
Yes.
And they helped with the tuition if you were in state. Well, I did very well on the test and I was accepted at PCO and I was also accepted about 4 or 5 other schools that I didn't apply to. So I got an interview time and mom and dad and I went to Philadelphia. It was election day that day. So it was interesting. But I had my interview, but I was very well prepared because of the pre-optometry program and the interview process we went through. So at school, you do externships, like doctors do internships. So I did one in vision therapy. Mm-hmm. I did one in low vision. I went to Hawaii and worked for a contact lens specialist. Mm-hmm. And I did a low vision one with a local doctor. And then I also did a went on diseases at the Laurel Eye Clinic. So I did more than what was necessary. But I learned a lot. Mm. And so I was associated for a short period of time with a local doctor, and then I opened my own practice in 1990. Mm-hmm. And I've been on Beaver Drive ever since.
Yeah, since 19. So now we know, and we know you a lot better now. You said you've been open on Beaver Drive. Tell us more about how we can get in touch with you.
Yes, I'm at 90 Beaver Drive in Rice Complex. It's a back building, and it has the letter D on it, as in dog. And you go through the glass door, the front door, and it's the first office on the right.
All right.
And the phone number is 814-371-2020. Now, I had a patient the other day that I gave him that number, and he said, oh, you know, a lot of people will say 2020.
And it makes sense, doesn't it? All right. Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt and another edition of For the Sake of Your Eyes on Connect FM. Thank you, Dr. Wendy.
You're welcome.